last week, I started a message called Seasons. Seasons. And how in life we go through seasons. That's what we call them. And that's a good name for them. And last week we just basically looked at it generally. And I shared with you that there are times when I share on Sunday mornings that I feel like, you know, it's a general community family message. Sometimes I have a sense that it is for individuals specifically. And last week was one of those times. And it just encourages me that when I have that sense, and then some of you come up and you say, you know what, that was definitely for me. And so that encourages me because it helps me understand the different senses and feelings that I get from the Lord and the Spirit, and it helps me grow too. And so I don't think we're done with that, because I want to share just calling Seasons Part 2. And just as a way of review, quickly, we looked at life being just seasons. But the purpose of those seasons, we believe that God directs our paths, right? I mean, I could stand up here and I could quote a bunch of scriptures, a way that a man's heart seems right, but the Lord directs his paths, right? He is a lamp unto our feet, all those scriptures. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose, and that God is working all things after the counsel of his will. And he's able to do that by not violating our will and loving us. And so we believe that God directs our paths. And so if God directs our paths and his purpose is to bring us into an understanding of love and self-sacrificial, self-giving nature of who he is, because that's who he created us to be in his image, and that is life to its fullest. That is eternal life, knowing God and knowing Jesus and being transformed into that image. It would seem obvious, right, that God would arrange things in our lives to accomplish that. Makes sense, right? And so he does that through what I'm calling, what we call seasons. Seasons, because there are times in our lives that we go through what we would consider mountaintops, we call them. We call them valleys. We call them dry places. We call them wildernesses. Hey, I'm really being pruned. Hey, God has really been humbling me lately. Whatever we want to call it, I'm calling it seasons. And so life is a series of seasons. And we see that a farmer, especially in our climate and our latitude and longitude, you don't start planting things in winter, because you're just wasting your time. And so seasons, there are some seasons we can discern, there are other seasons we can't discern. And my message isn't, hey, you need to discern the season you're in. That's not the message. If God directs you and shows you the season you're in, great. If you think you know what season you're in, great. The problem we run into is when we start to get knowledge sometimes about that, then we try to help God. And when we try and help God, we normally don't. Because God is trying to do something in us that only he can do. Because if we would try and help God and we would choose the seasons of our lives and choose the circumstances that we find ourselves in, we would make it all rosy, probably. I mean, which one of us would sign up for 40 years on the backside of a desert? Which of us would sign up and say, oh, hey, Jesus just got baptized. He's now the Spirit rested on him. Hey, it's time. I sign up to go fast for 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted of the devil. Who would sign up for Joseph? What? I'd like the dream and I'd like the fulfillment of the dream, but don't give me the 13 years it takes to do. We wouldn't choose that. Oh, I want a son. I want a son just like Abraham, but I don't want to wait 25 years. Seasons. So when we try and help God, like Abraham helped God, we get Ishmaels. And Ishmael isn't a problem. Ishmael is a son of his love. Ishmael is fruit of Abraham and Sarah going, Let's help God accomplish his desire. And so we get these. So don't, I'm not saying this about seasons, so you try to discern if it gives you peace, wonderful. But we know we're in God's hand and in his plan, right? We are where God wants us to be. And if we're not where what God wants us to be, our motivation should be, God, get me there. And a good father gets you there. And so we looked at seasons, and we talked about, remember the parable of the orange? And the reason why I talked about the parable of the orange was, is because a lot of times we look at death as something that's bad or negative. And obviously death, and death of a loved one, death of someone very close to us, is painful, and it grieves us, and that separation is horrible. But we're surrounded by death, and it is a season that God designed to work in the cycle of life to bring forth greater life. Okay, and so the scriptures we looked at, there were two scriptures. One was Psalm 1, and Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. For he shall be like a tree, I'm going to talk about trees today, tree planted by the water, it gets constant nourishment, that brings forth its fruit when? In season. And so trees, when we're meditating on the word of God, when we're seeking God, when we're living righteously, when we're trying to do what's right, and we're in the season of God, there will be a season of fruitfulness. But that season of fruitfulness isn't constant. It's a season. And so you look at the natural seasons. We have winter, and then we have spring, and then we have summer, and we have fall. And in all of those seasons, there's particular characteristics that happen in those seasons that aren't like other seasons. And they're all made in the purpose and the creation of God. And they work so wonderfully together to bring about God's will. Then we looked at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Talk about seasons. He says, at least in the time that he was alive, Solomon is the wisest man that ever lived. He's Ecclesiastes, his pen name. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. Time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. And I stopped there last week, but I want to continue to just broaden our scope of this idea of God working in our lives to bring about his purpose. And then Solomon says, what do workers gain from toil? I have seen the burden of God laid on the human race, and he has made everything beautiful in its time. That's the purpose of these seasons we're talking about, is God is making something beautiful. But there's a specific time, and even if we don't see it as beautiful, even if we don't see it as easy, or we would even see it as good, or we would see it as beneficial or productive, God is making something beautiful because the story's not over. And if I had to choose, I wouldn't choose a time to die. I wouldn't choose a time to weep. I wouldn't choose a time to mourn. I don't want to sign up for those things. But God is making something beautiful, and so he allows me to encounter these things for the purpose of creating in me what he designed. He has also set eternity in the heart, the human heart. Why is God working in us? Because he is bringing us into a reality of a greater understanding of who he is and life to its fullest throughout eternity. He's working, he's not done working in us just in this life. He will work through us through eternity. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And that's why I want to encourage you, don't try to figure out the season, but just recognize that God has you in one and that they don't last forever. And so last week we talked about, the fruit of the Spirit. God's after that, right? God's after our lives expressing who he is. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. So how would God help me gain patience? By surrounding me with people who think exactly like me. Is that how he does it? Or does he surround me with people who aren't exactly like me? And as a matter of fact, they think differently. The motivations of the reason they do things are different from me. Their perceptions are different. Because knowledge isn't what we're about. Knowledge puffs up, but what edifies? Love. And so I gain patience by being around other porcupines and our quills hitting each other as we do life together. And we poke one another, and we prod one another, and we gain patience. And so God may have me in a season of porcupine hugging. Okay? So seasons of relational challenge. But anyway, so what characteristics I want to look at are the natural seasons. What is the characteristic of spring? We're about to go into it. Okay, rain. Why rain? To water the land, because it's about growth. Okay? So this is a growth season. The natural world is about to go, the world we live in. Not the full world. The world we live in. Southwestern Pennsylvania is about to go into spring. Other parts of the world, they're going through their season, but we're going through our season. And it's a season of growth. It's a season of stretching. When you think about growth, we think, oh, wonderful, but growing isn't always easy. There's a thing called growing pains. I don't think I ever experienced growing pains where I actually felt it physically, but I definitely had the impact of growing physically in my life. Anybody experience growing pains, like physical pains? Two people? Three. Okay. So you're the oddballs. Lord forgive them. I don't know what they did wrong. No, that's interesting. So most of us didn't experience actual physical pains. Okay. What I experienced was very frustrating in growing. Even though it's a season of growing and it's needed, I was about, when I was a freshman or a sophomore in high school, I was about 5'6", 125. So, man, I only gained about 20 pounds since then. Plus 100. I was 5'6", about 125, and what happened was, and I loved sports just like I loved sports. I loved activity. I mean, I would set up two poles in my front yard with a little stick that went across about 6 feet, and I would run and jump over it, and I would do that for hours by myself. Yeah, I was that weird. And I would see how far up I could jump over it. And I think I got to about here. Okay. And I would run and I would jump and I would scissor kick over it. But anyway, I mean, we constantly played. I lived in a place called Galaxy Circle, and it was an actual circle with homes on the inside and homes on the outside and offshoots of cul-de-sacs and everything. But the circle was perfect for capture the flag, kick the can, all those games. If you came to my neighborhood, you would think there was a Cub Scout, a Girl Scout group every day, like 30 kids doing stuff, love running, playing, all those things. And I was fast. I could run pretty fast. I was very fast as a young boy, and I was very fast at that age. I could beat most people in races. So what happened was, is right about my sophomore, junior year, I got my growth spurt. And I grew 6 inches, I think, in a summer. 6 inches. And not like I'm 6 foot, a little over 6 foot right now. So about six inches. I grew. And you know what happened? I got uncoordinated. I got slow. I can still remember racing this girl and her beating me. It was so traumatic. Like, girls didn't beat me in races. But my body was going through this season of growth so much that it made me, like, I couldn't throw a ball like I used to throw a ball. I couldn't run like I used to run. I lost my coordination and dexterity. And it took about, I think, it's hard to remember, but somewhere between 6 months to a year to get it back. Okay? So growth is wonderful, but growth also comes with its challenges. Okay? Three people had pains. So characteristic of spring is growth. Characteristic of summer is what? Harvest. So what took place in the spring allows harvest to come. A season of reaping. A season of you have so much more than you had in the previous season or the seasons to come that you're actually giving away stuff, right? So our farmers out there, right, toward the end of the season, what are they doing? They're giving away cucumbers and they're giving away tomatoes. And they're like, you want a zucchini? Please take the zucchini. We've got thousands of them. Because it's a time of harvest. It's a time of plenty. And, you know, Jesus told a parable about a man who had plenty. And what he did was is he built barns to put all that plenty in. And Jesus said, you fool. And I don't think he called him a fool because he built barns or he wanted to put things in it. But this man didn't recognize that his life was about to end and that all that would go to waste. And so just because we have plenty, in that season we have to learn that God gives seed to who? The sower. And we give, and we learn to distribute, and we learn to be a conduit through which God blesses us so that we can bless others. And have you ever received something that the day you received it, the moment you received it, the second you received it, it was like you knew it wasn't for you? And you were just the conduit through which God wanted to get it to the person who it was intended for. And they couldn't get it to the person through the previous channels. Not that they wouldn't give it to him, but maybe the networking relational thing wasn't there. But he gets it to you so that you can get it to the person he wants it to have it. And so this season of harvest is a wonderful season. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't be involved. God doesn't have us in multiple things happening at once. Like, just because we're in a season of spring doesn't mean God can't give us harvest anytime. As a matter of fact, the law of the creation is whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And so, if that's true, is that true? Okay. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain, yeah, give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, okay? So why not live in that reality and every day sow something so that you create a rhythm in your life and in your family's life and in those people that are in your sphere of influence, that you create a rhythm through which you've sown consistently so that you're going to reap consistently so that you can continue the process and be a person of blessing constantly. Makes sense, right? But why not sow seeds every day of kindness, of mercy, forgiveness, and generosity? I sure enjoy reaping those things. I sure enjoy reaping mercy from others when I need it because I'm an idiot. I sure enjoy receiving grace from others because I need it. So that's summer. Autumn. What is predominantly the thing that takes place in autumn, right? Things are falling to the ground. This is when the pruning of the vines take place. A season of pruning, cutting back. In the scriptures, this is the principle of circumcision, cutting back. Pruning is necessary for fruitfulness. Without pruning in our lives, Father, without pruning us in our lives, there's no fruitfulness. I've shared this story with you before. There was a grapevine. I don't even know who planted it. I assume it was your dad, Jackie, the grapevine in the back. Because he would take things, whether it was from the mountains or wherever, other people. And he would plant them in the yard. And so there were a lot of trees. And there was this grapevine. And there were three stalks. And no one ever pruned that grapevine. I honestly didn't even think about it. Even to make it fruitful. But anyway, what happened was, is this grapevine, you know, it sends out its feelers and it sends out its branches and then it wraps around other things. And there's a chestnut tree within 6 feet of that vine, those three vines. And what happened was, is that the grapevine eventually found its way over to the chestnut tree and it would just grow and grow and grow till eventually it made it all the way to the top of the chestnut tree. And it could say to the whole neighborhood, look how big I am. The vine could say, look how much I've grown, but very little fruit, very little fruitfulness. Till one year I got it in my mind, hey, I know how to prune. I know how to prune grapevines, just like I know how to prune dogwood trees. For those of you who don't know, I no longer have a dogwood tree in front of my house, but God is gracious. Because apparently there was a seed under the ground and now there's a dogwood tree out there that's about this big. I'll fix it. Actually, it needs transplanted about 5 feet. So pray for me. Anyway, so I took and I just hacked this thing apart without studying about it. But apparently grapevines are hardy enough to handle even stupid people. So what happened was, is the next year, it sent out its branches, and it sent out its feelers. No fruit. Next year, did the same thing, and I cut it back a little more, because then I started to read about it. And then the third year, fruitfulness. There was so many grapes on that thing, because it had to go through a season of not being the biggest vine on the street. It had to be cut back so that it could become fruitful. And God would have us in those seasons of cutting us back because we need cut back. Because God is meek and lonely in heart. And God is close to the humble and the contrite. And all of us deal with pride. And who better to take care of our pride than Father, who knows the intent and the motivations of our heart. Not other people. Because they read us wrong. We may look, there are a lot of people who are out there who look proud and look cocky and all look full of themselves when really they're not. And there are other people out there who look like they're humble and look like they're meek, but they're the proudest people you know. But we don't know that. But God does. And so God does what? He exalts the humble and he humbles the proud because he can do it best. So all of us need to go through seasons, consistent seasons of humbling and pruning and cutting back in this autumn season. I can point to, I'm sure there are many, but I can point to two specific seasons of pruning in my life that I can definitely say God worked in me, because like last week, God works in us. A father doesn't do things to us. A father works things in us. And I can remember two specific seasons, which I'm going to buzz through them because I've told the stories before, but my two major seasons of growth, one of the first ones came when there was a season of, and I'm tippy-toeing here because I don't want to give too much information, but it was about a 2-year season of where I was being kind of misunderstood and misrepresented, and it would be kind of like the situation with King David, who wasn't a king at that time, and the spear was being thrown at him. And that was such a growing period for me because I needed to be strengthened in not what people thought about me or situations where I was misunderstood. Now, honestly, I'm on the other end of the spectrum where I don't even care enough when I'm misunderstood. Like I don't care. I probably should care more. I'm sure there are some times in life when you need to clarify the story. I don't even care. And I probably need to. But this season of life helped me grow in some very needed areas that God knew were in me that as a pastor I needed to grow in, but couldn't do it myself. And so he helped me. And he helped me realize that I don't have to run around and put out all the fires that are going on in people's lives, and that he can take care of that. And that when he needs me to do something, he'll let me know when the fire's big enough. But anyway, that was one. The other one was what I've shared with you many times. And that was where I thought that God was going to take Jesse's life. Still gets me emotional. Because, and this was decades ago. But there were so many things happening that kept coming across my path. The exact same places, the exact same locations, the exact same sermon, the exact same scripture, the exact same. And it was all about Abraham and him offering up Isaac. And I would have dreams, and I was like, people would tell stories about a man who was standing on the side of a river, raging river, and this was a dream they had, and the son was in the canoe, and the best friend was in the canoe, and they're headed for the falls, and he only can save one of them, and he sees the son smile because he knows the Lord, and there's nothing to deal with there, and so he saves the other kid. And I'd hear this in the same building in other cities, in the exact same place, multiple years. I'm like, what are you telling me? And I thought God was going to take my son's life. Well, that didn't happen. But what happened was, is God let me have that experience in a dream. Very real dream. Just like Solomon had a dream. That's when he asked for wisdom, was in a dream. And God, it affects life. And God let me choose to give him to death in a dream. So I can't tell you the work that did in me, that you make a decision to give a child. They're not taken from you. You give it. There's a difference. I can't tell you what that did in me, what God did in me. And so I could never do that to myself. I could never figure out, strategize how to work that in me. He does it. And he does it through seasons. And there will be a day when you will stop and you will look back and you will say, oh, God, I could never have done that in myself. Then there's winter. And the winter season is like what we call winter wildernesses. A waiting, a loneliness. God's silent. St. John of the Cross in the 1300s, I think it was, called it the dark night of the soul. And so all these seasons that we go through, you can see in the life of Israel how God had them consistently in the book of Judges in seasons. And their season was a cycle that constantly repeated itself, but he was bringing them into his purpose. They would have a season of Israel, would have a season of peace and prosperity. They didn't have to fight wars. They were living life. And what would happen? Then they would fall into sin and idolatry. And then there would be the next season of bondage as a consequence of that sin and idolatry. And then they would repent because they would be either under foreign rule, under someone's thumb, or God would use famine or something to bring them and shake them to a place where they would realize their error. And then they would cry out to God. And then when they would cry out to God, he would send a deliverer, and the deliverer would probably be another judge. And the people would turn back to God. And then they would have a season of peace and prosperity. But then what happened? The cycle continued. And the book of Judges is just this cycle of seasons where God is working his purposes and his will in the life of a nation, people, to bring about his perfect will. The last season I'm going to mention to you is this. And this was a long season. I didn't even know I was in a season. I could never have orchestrated it. I could never have even thought about it till God revealed it to me. And before I share that with you, I just want to share about how God, you know, we talked about you'll be a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord that brings forth its fruit in what? In season. Every tree has different seasons of fruitfulness and maturity, how long it takes for a tree to produce fruit. And that's no mistake that God would do that. I shared with you about grapevines. It takes up to 3 years after you prune a grapevine for it to produce fruit. No matter how hard you want it to or you try, it's not going to produce fruit for 3 years. Pecan trees will begin producing fruit about 3 to 4 years after planted. Significant production can be achieved after 6 to 8 years. Really great production starts to happen after the 9th or the 10th year. And trees can be productive for over 100 years. Some have even been found to produce fruit for 300 years. Macadamia nuts, which make a wonderful cookie, take 5 to 10 years to produce. They will not produce fully to their maximum capacity until 15 to 20 years. How would you like to be in that season? Just don't tell me about it. Bamboo. Did you know bamboo is grass? I thought it was a tree. Bamboo is grass. And bamboo, some species of bamboo don't grow for 3 to 5 years, but when they finally reach that point, they can grow 3 feet in one day. 3 feet in one day. And like grass, what do you do in the, we're getting up into spring and summer, you cut your grass, and what does your grass do? Grows again. Well, bamboo does the same thing. You cut bamboo, and then it grows again. Different characteristics, different trees, different gestation periods for producing fruit and nuts. And then the fullness, Jesus said some 30, some 60, some 90-fold, 100-fold, is different. Black walnut trees take 8 to 10 years to produce fruit and 15 to 20 years for maturation. All different trees. So here's the last season that I'm going to share with you. And then, worship team, you can come up. So I didn't even know I was in this season. I took about 2 days of just I felt led to fast back in November of 2020. And I was on the second day of the fast, and I was sitting on one of our couches down in the game room watching something on TV while listening to a sermon on my phone because I'm a multitasker. I like to think I am. But that's not true. I can only do one thing at a time. So at this particular part of the day, I was listening to my phone instead of watching the TV, listening to this message. And this individual was talking about the price you have to pay to follow Christ. Take up your cross, deny yourself, follow me. No pain, no gain. God teaches us about self-denial. The only way you grow is through self-denial. So while he's just talking about all this, I'm sitting there and I'm kind of thinking, that's not the story of my life. I have, in my opinion, had a very wonderful life, had to go through very little things, and God for some reason blesses. Okay, and so that's kind of the mode I'm in while I'm listening to this, is like, if you would ask me, like, what's a terrible thing you went through, it was just like, I couldn't give you anything then, okay? And so while I'm thinking this, just the still small voice says to me, yes, you have. And I'm like, what? So yes, you have. You paid a price. I'm like, what price did I pay? And he said, you gave me your son. What day is it? Do you believe you can have conversations like this with God? Because I can't set this up. So you can think I'm nuts. What day is it? And I can't remember if it was Wednesday. But I said the day. I said it's Wednesday. He said, no, what day is it? It's November 5th. November 5th what? November 5th, 2020. Now I'm watching a movie. Not literally, but I'm going through all the things that November 5th, 2020 means to me. Exactly 25 years to the day is when I stood up here and was ordained. And I can see in my mind, part of the video is the Afghan, I think if you call it that, the throw that the women's ministry gave me that looks like an Irish kilt. It's in my office if you want to see it. But down in the corner, it says November 5th, 1995. And that was the day I was ordained. Okay, big deal. 25 years to the day. Another thing happened on that night. That was the night we dedicated Jesse to the Lord. Exactly 25 years to that day that God is saying, yes, you did. You did give me something very costly to you. It wasn't even in that dedication. It was years later in the dream that I gave him. But he put it all together. And how can I set that up? That I felt led to fast. And that on that day, that I don't even know what day it is. He says, what day is it? And it's exactly 25 years to the day. You know what else that day is? My parents' anniversary. That exact day. So put it together. Abraham, you're going to have a son. A son of your own loins. Great. When's it going to happen? Don't worry about it. Don't try and help me. Don't worry about it. I'll make it happen. How long did it take? Exactly 25 years. Abraham's heart is about a father. My heart. It's all about father. I see everything through lens of family. This is my family. My parents' anniversary. The example of a relationship I got to watch my entire life. What day is it? It was at that moment that one season ended on that day and a new season started. I can't tell you exactly what that means. I have an idea, but I'm going to let that brew for a while. But that was a season, a 25-year season. Thank you for not telling me about that 25 years ago. But God was working something in me for 25 years so that I could start a new season. And so the good news is, don't try and figure out the season. Father has you in your season, and your season will end. And like I said last week, but be of good cheer. Your new season will start right after that. God is good.